Hi, this is Brian Sapien. Just wanted to warn you ahead of time, tonight's show will have more vulgarities than normal. There will be some sexual innuendo. We recorded the Laura Ingraham debunking in two parts. And the first part, for about the first 35 minutes or so, is a lot more rational and intellectual than the second part, which occurred very late night, after a beer or two. And I don't know, we got into this thing where we started calling Laura Ingraham a name, and we started playing a game with, the fact that we couldn't call her anything but this name, and it is vulgar. And if you have little kids that listen to the show with you, you're not going to want them in the room for that portion of the show. Additionally, of course, we do stand by the name. But it's not exactly the best for a kid to be listening to. So, just a little warning. If you're under 14, you probably shouldn't be listening to the show. If you're over 14, it's nothing you haven't heard before. And enjoy it. Laura Ingraham deserves it. And we do stand by it, like I said. Of course, being rational doesn't mean that you can't curse. In fact, sometimes directing the F word at somebody is the most rational thing to do. So, anyway, tune in, enjoy it. Laura Ingraham gets ripped to shreds in this episode.
Yeah. It's Rational Response Squad. About to hit you in your motherfucking face. It's like they keep telling lies, why they keep telling lies. Jesus never existed and he's ripping off you guys. You'll read the Jesus puzzle, end of faith, the incredible, shrieking son of man. The testament's a scam like that phony ass Koran. Yet they tour around like bands, like that whack ass Benny Hinn, Billy Graham, Pope Ben. They some sick and twisted men, why they lying to the people, trying to turn them all to sheep. The Bible's simply cruel, all of Nietzsche's shit is deep. With a rational response, we critique the evidence. In 2006, religion has no relevance. Just a sick and twisted dance, trying to take the pain from death. Osama selling virgins, what the fuck do Christians get? An ascetic came to earth just to make you feel like shit. Well, you can't die for me, no, you can't die for me. You'll burn me like a witch, go ahead and cry for me. Cry for me. Yo. And this goes out to Rook Sapien, Scientific Mike. Nothing but free thoughts transmitting through the night. Evolution is the record for the evidence we fight. Richard Dawkins, Robert Price, trying to set the record right. On the mic, flow precise, anti-gospel, anti-Christ, anti-ant-culture twice. Fuck right-wingers, archetypes, just a bunch of wicked lies. Selling war, selling spies, school of liberties in disguise. Why they checking out our lives? Why they can download this track, Patriots Invasion app. We're just trying to fight back, rational, and that's a fact. Why they keep telling lies when religion's a disguise to take the pain from death and to govern all the people? I'm asking you the questions in the Inquisition sequel. Most rational people look beyond the good and evil. Most rational people, we look beyond the good and evil. My name is Proclaim once again. Chilling out. The Rational Responders, Mike Wick and Sapien, doing big things. Be on the lookout for the upcoming album, Question Everything. You can find it at ProcleanCreations.com. Once again, this is the Rational Response Squad, bringing it to you live and direct.
Join us right now in the chat room at www.rationalresponders.com. If you are listening to our live stream, join us in the chat room at www.rationalresponders.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Rational Response Squad. I am Brian Sapien.
I am Rick Hawkins.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Razor.
I'm Mike.
And we are
the Rational Response Squad.
Today, we will spend some time debunking or ridiculing or laughing
all the above
at the interview that I did with Laura Ingraham a little while ago. And we're going to put this one up in the free player. So those tuning in on MySpace, thanks a lot for listening to us. We are an activist, atheist, radio show and a network of over 20,000 activists that are frustrated with religion and what it's done to society and the world. And you can visit us at www.rationalresponders.com. We have a new show every Friday night. And we also have a bunch of free shows that you're probably listening to right now in the player. So, I did an appearance on the Laura Ingraham show because of my blasphemy challenge, and I was muted over and over and over. There were plenty of times when the director was like, no, you can't talk now. No, you can't. Don't say anything. We think that we probably should talk about this clip and put it out because we had it out, and it kind of frustrated me that the audience didn't know how many times I was muted. And if you aren't well-versed in rules of logic, you might have thought that she actually made some good arguments. For example, when I say that the problem with Pascal's wager is that you have to know which god to believe in, and she has the amazingly intellectual retort to say, what does my girlfriend do? That is not exactly where you want to go in a good argument. So we'll review it right now, and here you go. I'll start playing the clips.
Before we even start, why'd you even agree to go on this twat show?
Because, you know, I just heard that she was the 7th most influential radio show host in America. New report comes out, rates most influential radio show host. And I knew that, hey, if we at least we got the people to our website, we could, you know, help them out at that point. And ironically, we got several people who wrote us afterwards that told us a varying of things that of disgust for Laura Ingraham. The one argument that kind of spanned several emails was, I'm a listener of Laura Ingraham, I'm a fan of hers, and I no longer like her, or some variation of that. Like, I don't like you guys, but I like Laura Ingraham less now. All sorts of different interesting arguments that said basically Laura Ingraham's reputation was ruined after this discussion. Most interestingly was a guy who listens to her on occasion and heard her on the way into work. And said to me, called me up and said, I was disgusted at the way she treated you, and that I have a stock market internet show. We'll give him a plug. It's MN1.com. That's just the letters M, the letter N, and the number 1.com. He has a stock market TV internet show. And he goes, I want you to come on and talk for half an hour. I'm like, about? He's like, well, I'm going to give you the opportunity just to talk unfettered for a half an hour about religion and the problems. And I said, you know, why are you going to do that on a stock market show? He said, well, we're going to try to work you in by correlating everything to business somehow. My producers won't let you go on like this. So
that was a brilliant interview, by the
way.
It was. And like everything like somehow came down to the market or like capitalism, but it had to do with like, you know, like what an atheist thinks about the market. You know?
Yeah,
like,
it was the weirdest interview I had ever done and probably will be ever. You know, basically the arguments would go something like this. I was told that the real topic was what the business world would look like if it were all run by atheists. So kind of went like this. Listen, you know, in Sweden, they have gotten away from religion, and for the most part, they're atheistic, and the businesses are going well there. So let me tell you why Pascal's wager is bullshit. You know, it was just a weird show. I mean, you know, they do this in politics and discussions there, where like you start off by restating the question, but then you answer something completely different. You know, like, I don't know, somebody will get asked, like, what do you plan to do on crime? And, you know, the guy will be like, well, here's what I plan to do for crime. My candidate, his positions on Social Security are, it's like, what?
You have to focus on Social Security first before moving on to crime.
So let's go ahead and play the Laura Ingraham piece. It's 16 minutes, and it'll probably take us through the hour to ridicule this properly, because it needs a lot of ridicule.
800-876-4123. And I know a lot of you were interested in phoning in when we invited Brian Sapient on the show. He's the co-founder of the atheist website known as rationalresponders.com. And he has started something known as the Blasphemy Challenge, which encourages atheists to...
Just real quick, it seems really weird every time Fleming and I get an appearance on this. Whoever is the one giving the appearance is the person who started the Blasphemy Challenge. Fleming talked to the New York Times, and I talked to the New York Times. We both talked to the New York Times. They knew that the Rational Response Squad was the co-founder of the Blasphemy Challenge, yet we weren't mentioned, and Brian Fleming was mentioned as the founder. It's just really weird. Like, what is this kind of weird media thing they do where the person speaking is the founder of the Blasphemy Challenge? It's just odd, but okay, here we go.
Come forward and deny the existence of God on YouTube. So you can go to YouTube and deny the existence of God and be very smart, apparently. In exchange for their blasphemy, participants will be given a DVD. That's pretty good. Joining us now, Brian Sapien. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Laura. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on, and I'm trying to figure this all out, but I'm going to read from your bio. I guess this is from rationalresponders.com. Is this from the website? Yeah. Okay, it says you're a full-time activist, but you're not employed. You're sustaining yourself fully on any income generated helping people overcome theism projects.
You guys tell me when you want me to stop this clip, okay, any point.
I think right now is a good time to stop.
Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
I think that's funny that she's trying to figure this all out, personally. That's, like, pretty much what she's doing the whole show, like, trying to figure this all out.
Yeah, like, she's amazed that someone would actually do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, there was that little ridicule moment a second ago where she was like, you could take the Blasphemy Challenge and apparently be
really
smart.
Really smart, yeah.
That's part of what the Blasphemy Challenge is about. It says it on the page. Take the Blasphemy Challenge and you'll be smart.
Yeah. Right.
No,
I don't necessarily agree that he's unemployed either. I mean,
right, exactly.
No, she's unemployed. Yeah, no, I'm not. She said that? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she did.
Right. Oh, well, right. She's a couple times. They're coming up.
Right.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Can you really make a living at that, Brian?
No, not if I didn't have loving family members that supported the cause and took care of most of the expenses. So, no, you can't make a living doing it.
All right, I probably should clarify that. See, when you're on radio shows, you know that you have like 5 to 15 seconds to get a point in, especially with people like this where they're going to mute you. Okay, so a little bit of background just to give you an idea. I used to live in a house. I had my own home, and there was a large profit in the home. My girlfriend, who we weren't completely ready to move to that stage of our relationship yet, said, well, why don't you sell the house and move into my house, and I can handle paying all the monthly bills because I already pay them, and you just pay the difference between what, you know, I pay and what the difference in electric would be and the higher cable for your usage of cable, and, you know, and that'll be good, and then you'll have the money in the bank from the sale of the house for a future down payment on a house that maybe we'll buy together someday. So, you know, that's the background there, and she continues to pay for the bills, you know, that she paid before, and I pay for the difference, and that's it. And it's very little. I need about $400 or $500 a month to live, and when the Rational Response Squad doesn't help me get to that level, I take it out of that large profit that I have in the house. So, of course, that wasn't in the Laura Ingraham show, and if I had tried to get all that out, it would have never worked.
Right, but what does it matter?
It doesn't. It doesn't at all, of course. It has nothing to do with the arguments for God,
so,
right?
So, Brian, what does your girlfriend do?
This is part of the ridicule campaign.
Right, that's what she does.
Got to knock it down.
Yeah,
So, what you're trying to do here is get people to put their souls on the line. Because, well, or you don't believe in a soul. So, you're just to put it all on the line. What are you putting on the line, by the way, if you don't believe in a soul?
Well, I think that you're...
Does anybody want to... Well, let's hear my response first.
You're showing people that you're not scared of what we are led to believe we should be scared of. And obviously we are a predominantly Christian society, and so most people are scared of Yahweh's hell, and we're showing people that we're not, and we're so unscared that we would...
The word, by the way, would have been unafraid. Sapient. Dumbass.
Commit ourselves to a hell that obviously we don't believe exists.
What do you think informs your value system? Where does it come from?
Satan.
You know, reason and logical thought. And, you know,
but where did that come from?
I didn't do as well on this as I could have. And of course, it's also because I didn't have as much time. So we'll have to really thoroughly analyze this argument.
Is she bringing out some presuppositionalist argument here?
She does the entire show.
Basically, yeah.
Your brain.
Hilarious. But where did that come from?
Well, it's a biological process and evolution. And would you propose that it came from a god somehow?
Well, I don't propose that I'm sort of smarter than anyone who's ever lived, and certainly don't think I'm the smartest person living now.
Except for Galileo.
Don't worry, you're not.
I just believe that there are things that we probably can't explain, that...
Yeah, except for Albert Einstein, Stephen Hawking, and Richard Dawkins. She's smarter than all them.
Right.
Because, right, later on she goes to use an argument that, there are smarter people who believed in the Christian God, so therefore the Christian God might be right.
Are you smarter than Thomas Aquinas?
Okay, so, seriously, this argument, where did we get our reason from? Kelly, break it down, psychological aspects here.
It's the infinite regress. I mean, where did everything come from? I mean, essentially, we're going to get down to, the single cell, and, nobody explains abiogenesis. It's just another way of going for the God of the gaps argument, which is
right.
Absolute insanity. Where my reason came from really doesn't matter. What matters is that I have it and I want to use it. And if you don't, sorry.
Yeah. And then, of course, the end result is, okay, fine. It came from God. Where did that come from?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Where did God come from?
Oh, well, no, God just exists.
God exists eternally.
We have evidence for reason. Oh, right, Razorcade? Mr. Occam's razor? We have evidence for reason. We have evidence for a brain. We don't have evidence for a God. So why put this confusing thing that we don't have evidence for at the end, and say, well, where did that come from? It just existed. Why can't we just say, well, brains just exist?
The universe just exists.
That's a perfect example of Occam's razor. I mean, it ultimately goes back to that. I mean, you regress to a God, you have to say, hey, where did that God come from?
And that's abundantly more complicated and harder to understand than just believing that or, seeing that the universe just came to exist and that through that, a process happened in which life started. And since then, we've evolved over a long timeline to get to where we are today.
See, I have no problem saying I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have a problem with that, but I have no problem saying I don't know. I don't know where the universe came from.
I don't know about that,
from.
Though. I don't know about that.
I don't. Do you know where the universe came from?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the question, where does your reason come from, really is a question, where did everything come from, you know? And ultimately, we can't explain that right now, but that doesn't mean that, you can insert typical Christian answer, God did it.
Right, putting a more vague answer in for, a vague question.
It always strikes me that it's only theists who are ever so certain and ever so sure that this is the way things happen, it's the way things are. You don't find that from a scientist. You don't find that from an atheist. An atheist or a scientist will say, well, this is what we understand it to be now. That could change. We're open to new evidence. We're open to new argumentation. And we don't have a problem saying, I don't know, when in fact we don't know. We're not going to pull something out of our asses to make us feel better.
Right.
So,
just like we're open to the existence of a God, but show us the evidence. I mean, come on.
Anyway.
All right, here we go on.
Inform who we are. And I've got to tell you, they're simple things for me. When I look at an infant, when I see a mother holding a child, when I witness, the humanity and the
when I see a giant tsunami, when I see HIV, when I see cancer,
appeals
to emotion, anybody?
Seriously, that was the argument. I wanted to wait until I got to the end of the argument. She's moving to another argument. The argument for God is when I see a mother holding a child.
It's always the wonderful thing.
Are you a fucking moron?
Yeah. Well,
yes, she is.
even if she wants to use that argument, not that she would even let you talk, we could break that down to biological hardwiring. We have evolved with certain reactions to certain things because it benefits humanity. So when people look at babies and they think, oh, that baby's so cute, you're not thinking that because, God made you think that. You're thinking that because human beings' brains have evolved in such a way as to make you think that babies are cute. So, guess what? You want to go have one.
Right. And furthermore, I mean, we wouldn't be here to have the discussion if people didn't nurture their children. If people didn't take care of their children, if people's reactions to their children was, ooh, let me eat that, we would have went extinct a while ago and would never have gotten to the point where we could have a discussion on a dumb bitch's radio show.
But you know what,
though? So that's why babies are cute. They're irresistible, and that is the reason, because when you see a cute little baby crying, especially if it's your own, you immediately want to, make it stop.
Honestly, though, dude,
Yeah, so you smother it with a pillow, right?
Ingram makes the case for why some species eat their young. Seriously, she makes the case for why they do that. Go ahead.
Okay, go on.
Passion of people, a loving family like the one that supports you. I can't help but think that love, that enduring love, comes from something. It doesn't come from reason. It comes from something in someone. And yes, of course, I believe it comes from God. But you think love comes from evolution?
Well, actually, I mean, I think love does come from reason. I think that, you know, if you put a bunch of people in a cave from birth and they relied on each other to get by, you know, 30 years from now, you'd see that, you know, they all managed to realize on their own without any holy text, without anybody guiding them, that they were dependent on each other and they needed each other to get by. And we kind of have that moral code with each other that existed well before God belief, or we wouldn't have gotten to the point where we could even, you know, come up with texts that show people that, you know, we believe in some sort of God. So I think moral codes come well before religion does. And I don't think that we need religion to be good people. Atheists would be,
but,
you know, locked
right,
up.
Right, but morality...
But, you know, I was going to make a point there. Go ahead, jump on in a sec, but I was going to make a point there. You know, if atheists weren't good people, you would see us locked up. And as, you know, plenty of people have pointed out within the atheist community,
like Sam Harris,
the jail statistics are that, you know, the atheists represent, you know, conservative numbers, they represent 7% of America. You know, larger numbers when you expand it out to people who don't call themselves atheists but call themselves agnostic or non-believers. You know, I mean, it's like maybe even as high as 25-30%, you know, in some studies.
Right.
So you would think that atheists, if the population was proportionately moral, you would think that they would represent 7-30% of the prison population. But atheists don't. They represent less than 1% of the prison population. And so theists are abundantly more, when it comes to the law, abundantly more immoral than atheists.
Yeah.
So where does that love come from?
Well, you know, really what I think, every single person who uses that argument, I think that we should start giving them, you know, chemicals that will reduce the amount of oxytocin and serotonin in their brain, and then they won't feel that love anymore. And then ask them what happened. Did your God go away? Where'd he go?
No.
Your love comes, you know, as a result of the, you know,
brain.
Chemicals
right.
And neurotransmitters in your brain and not God.
Mainly the thalamus.
More so than that, when someone uses that argument, you should fucking run. Run away from them.
Right.
Because that person is essentially telling you that were
it
not
no God, I would kill
for
you
his belief or her belief in God, they would fucking murder you. There would be nothing at all from preventing them from doing
and
it.
And more so than that, Bill O'Reilly says to.
Yeah. Like,
run. When you encounter a person like this in your life, ladies and gentlemen,
wait for it.
Run.
All right. So anyway.
All right. So I'll play. I'll play more.
However, and we'll get into this more deeply, but morality consists of a set of commands. Morality is are commands of behavior, and commands of behavior don't come out of a cave. They don't come out of situations. They come out of something.
I couldn't even make heads or tails of this argument.
Look, morality are not commands.
They're not commands at all, right?
No.
They're commands if you say that God gave them to us or something.
There's laws and then there's morality.
Right, she's completely
right.
Oblivious to your
The law, morality, and ethics are three different things.
Exactly. Right. Right.
I mean, and they constantly get confused all the time.
Right.
But what's important, though, is she completely misunderstood his analogy. Yeah. Like, she's the very first thing she says is, like, they don't come out of caves. He never said they come out of caves, you dumb bitch. He said that they freaking come out of, you know, your ability to reason.
Yeah, I don't know where she made that leap.
That was like, you have to really not be paying attention to get that sort of, you know.
Right.
They don't come out of caves. Like,
and they don't,
a factory that produces
they
morals
don't come out of, they also don't come out of 2,000-year-old books.
Exactly.
You know, you don't need something written in a book that tells you, you know, don't murder to know that murder is, you know, not right.
Right, and if it did come out of the book, you'd be killing babies who, or your children who disobey you or something like that.
In my mind, human morality is based entirely and solely on empathy and reciprocity. And those are the two words that really sum it up. You know, your ability to put yourself in the other person's shoes and the ability of others around you, you know, call it society, call it your tribe or whatever, to hold you accountable for your actions.
For today and not later.
Yeah.
That's the important
part. And that's it. You know, that is human morality in a nutshell.
Deeper and greater than that. How do you propose that? Why shouldn't it be every?
Do you hear me talking right there?
Yeah,
I was talking and getting muted.
Yeah, right.
Man for himself. I mean, why shouldn't it be?
I mean, I'm straight muted at this point. I'm talking not knowing I'm muted. Talking full blast. And, yeah.
You know, the survival of the fittest period. Why should we help someone? Why should we have good Samaritans? Why should we ever have had a Mother Teresa?
Did you hear me go, whoop? Did you hear me? They, like, slowly unmuted me. Yeah, I couldn't get in.
Should we have Christian missionaries right now working in Africa where the UN won't go?
Yeah, let's talk about
that. Why is that happening?
Let's talk about that.
Yes, let's please do.
All right, Christian missionaries talk in Africa who...
Well, you know what? Hold on.
Force you...
What? Yeah, hold on. I make that point, so we'll do it and play, and then we'll key off of that. So hold on, just let
me...
I think it is every man for himself, but inherent in that is the understanding that you need other people in order to look out for yourself.
No, the missionary doesn't need other... No. You're not going to get away with that on this show. The missionary or the volunteer, the Peace Corps volunteer working in Africa doesn't need to be there. They're there for a reason. They're there for something greater than themselves.
They're there for a reason.
That completely
yes.
Turns your point
we're
on
gonna,
its head.
We're gonna touch
it's
it.
Just, this is how it would work out in a cave. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't want to bring up missionaries in Africa to me. I mean, that's a sore subject. I mean, they're actually, you know, teaching a horrible, doing a horrible injustice to those people there. And they're spreading AIDS worse than had they come in there and taught, you know, how to use a condom and, and you know, this.
What do you think would have happened? Right.
Okay. That's where I get cut off. And so let's go ahead and touch this whole. There's a lot of shit. We missed a lot of crap. We're not going to hit it all.
I want to jump right in.
Go ahead.
Here. All right. First off, she's saying, like, these missionaries in Africa are doing this great thing. Yes. They're saying that if you don't worship my God, you're not getting food. You're not getting shelter. Mm-hmm. You're not getting medicine. And by the way, their medicine supplies are limited to prayer. So, you know, they're doing a great thing, all right? They're fucking with these people's lives, and they're interrupting a culture that has existed for thousands upon thousands of years. I mean, first off, yeah, these people need help. Sure, get them help. But, you know, if you're going to give them the right help, not this shit where, you know, they do the same thing in the States. If you don't worship my God, then you won't get the soup.
Yeah, okay, you won't get the food. And you never see that at all.
Right, and all the blankets and materials they give these people, they're shit. Have you ever seen, like, a blanket they give the homeless people? They're like freaking styrofoam. Right? That thing gets wet, dude, forget about it. You're sleeping on, like, steel wool, because that's what it is. All right? It's like, come on now. That is fucking ridiculous. And this
are you
is like.
Talking from experience there?
Yeah.
I'm just picturing a blanket rusting right now.
Seriously. Like, I went when I was a Christian, I went to one of these church drives, right? And I was looking at the stuff they were giving away, and they're like, it's like recycled cloth, all right? But it's not like this, like cotton, it's like, you know, carpet. And that's what they're giving these people, like freaking sheets of carpet to wrap yourself in. It's like, all right, yeah, when you're in if you're in a shithole, first you have to accept my God. Then I'm going to give you this piece of carpet, and that's going to be your freaking shelter for the night.
Yeah, when I was a Christian, I was so poor, I had to sleep on steel wool.
Jesus and his amazing technicolored carpet remnant dream coat.
And get this though. They paint on the logos for the missionary. Like, right? Like, the missionaries paint on logos. They have to paint it on because that's what they have to do. Right. This big yellow circle with a smiley face that says, Jesus bless you. You know? Like, are you fucking kidding me? This is what I have to pray to your God to get, this piece of shit. You know, like, and this is the great works that she's talking about that they do.
Okay, now I will give it. There are some Christians out there that do good things and that do feed people out of the, you know, kindness of their heart. But the large majority of them, and certainly not the missionaries in Africa, they're doing it for conversion. And that's
right.
You know,
get the numbers up.
The blunt fact of the matter is. And then when you leap on, like, add on top of that, the fact that they're responsible for, you know, not teaching safe sex, for telling them that, you know, condoms are either evil or don't work or will make you sick. And, you know, there are cases of them doing that. They're helping spread a disease that is...
Brother Mike, you must pray to God that you will not get AIDS. Okay?
Yeah,
you must pray to God.
pray to God.
Let me know how that works out for you. And in the meantime, what's essentially happening is like a genocide.
Right.
I mean,
all right,
let me put the final.
Don't even bring, like, Mother Teresa was a bitch, a fucking twat bitch, and
she followed.
Go ahead, explain why though, because let's not succumb to Laura Ingraham's poor argument.
We're not going to go for the ad hom.
Sure, she brought her up.
People try to make this woman out to a saint, and they did.
Right.
But her.
Yeah, read Christopher Hitchens on Mother Teresa. By the way,
she had her home for the dying. Okay, Mother Teresa's home for the dying. They called it the home for the dying for a reason. She basically built up this cult of suffering. She took people in. She basically gave them a cot to die on.
Right.
Didn't treat them, you know, didn't give them medicine or food. Gave them a place to die. And she firmly believed that suffering got you closer to God.
Right.
So all the money that you gave to her and her organization, it didn't help anybody.
Right.
It didn't go to feeding them. It didn't go to helping them medically. It went to essentially her proselytizing and her home where you got to go and die. That was Mother Teresa. And that's why I call her a, you know,
And let's also review who wants to take, you know, the fact that in sub-Saharan Africa, the condom...
Mike brought that up.
They were talking about that. And that they won't... actually teach these people the ways to prevent the spread of AIDS.
Yeah, see, what they're doing is they're ignoring human biology. Human biology is we're sexual creatures. We want to have sex.
Yeah.
And they're telling people that the way to prevent AIDS is through abstinence only. And meanwhile, we have all sorts of reason to believe that that isn't going to stop them from having sex because they continue to have sex. And when they continue to have sex and they're never told about safe sex, there are people in Africa that are being, you know, in communities that are being treated for AIDS that don't know what a condom is, okay, because they are not being told about it by these missionaries that are going in there and saying the only way to prevent AIDS is abstinence only. Well, that's just ridiculous, okay? You know, give them a condom. But they won't give them a condom because that would then infer that they're having premarital sex.
Right. Yeah.
Then they go have premarital sex, and then AIDS spreads even worse. Mm-hmm. And they, by being there as Christian missionaries with their abstinence-only education, are actually making the AIDS virus spread.
Yeah.
And
and not to mention the fact that, of course, if their God exists,
and their God
he's the
created,
cause
yeah.
of AIDS cause of allowing this system to spread.
Why would you care? You know, you're making babies for Jesus. Who cares if that baby has AIDS? It's going to heaven.
Now, you know, we broadcast live in our stick camera when we do our pre-recording sessions. And Bahana did point out that there are plenty of, let's see here. Let's get the exact quote. Yeah. If a person is a believer or not, it doesn't matter. There's some missionaries that are good.
I made that point.
You might not necessarily have to convert, but most of the time they do at least require that you like attend a meeting or sit with them for say like a half an hour and listen to their spiel, take this brochure. And, you know, I mean, but you have to look at the intent. Like to me, the intent is very important. Their intent is not to help. Their intent is to spread the good news. So if you really want to go be good people, go out and help these people and just help them.
And here's, by the way, you know, she says that nobody will go into sub-Saharan Africa. Check this out, folks. Okay, go to earthword.org and atheistvolunteers.org. Just last night, the Rational Response Squad, on behalf of its community, satisfied an urgent donation request for the Okello family. I'll read you off briefly. It is with great sadness that we report the death of Elizabeth Okello. She was the wife of our friend Peter Okello and mother of five children, ranging in age from 5 to 16. The family has been living in a disease-infested slum of Nairobi, Kenya, since fleeing their farmland in Uganda after an attack by the Lord's Resistance Army. Earthword is currently trying to raise funds to relocate them to a safer environment. Earthword is officially affiliated with atheistvolunteers.org, and the claim that there are nobody other than Christian missionaries that will go into sub-Saharan Africa is officially debunked, ridiculed, blown out of the water.
That completely turns your point on its head. That
these guys have to basically run from religious oppression And the mother has died. The guy's raising, you know, this family now, and Earthward is basically helping the family to get by because of the religious tyranny that he's had to endure. For those that don't know about Earthward, Earthward stands for Earth's Atheist Resistance to Holy Wars and Religious Devastation. And they do engage in action in Africa, and we are now a big supporter of them. So come help out, atheistvolunteers.org, and I'll play this pitch again.
But what do you think would have happened if all of us, and I say all of us, had listened to God's commands more faithfully?
Let's talk about that.
Well, my point was, I said we would have all killed each other off by now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Every disobedient child would have been stoned to death. So,
you know,
slavery would still be around.
Wearing, you know, men's clothing.
People would be selling off their daughters.
When we were younger, we did listen, but it just didn't make any sense.
I am upset about that.
Oh, really?
That you can't just buy a woman? Or
Yeah.
Some people aren't just selling off their daughters.
You really can for a price. You
know, sell me your children. Oh. That'll be 11 shekels,
children,
please.
You only want the daughter.
How much for the little girl?
Five denarii.
If we listen to God's commandments, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Oh, yeah, that's God's commandment. No, that's like Jesus, okay?
And adding to the text there,
yeah,
you know,
Jesus,
doing against what he said to do.
Yes, exactly. And he also said that, you know, that you need to hate your parents.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What's the passage?
Luke 14:26, and it's also in Matthew 11, I think 17 to 28.
He says you can't be his disciple unless you hate your parents, your brother, and everybody around you.
And he comes to set the vision in his own in your old household.
Yeah, I don't know that, is anybody else as sick of hearing the, oh, religion's about loving your neighbor line? Like, I seriously, if I hear that one more time, I think I might have to slit my own throat. It is.
No.
Yeah, don't do that.
You're a good thinker. Okay, don't do that. No.
Yeah, no, we need you
like
around.
That one line.
It said by their kids.
All of the atrocities and all of the hate and all of the bullshit that
religion
has caused for the past,
they
you
sum
know,
up
how
in
many
one
thousands
sentence.
Of years.
They sum up in one sentence, love your neighbor. They forget all the bad stuff.
Yeah, that's the only thing they know.
Love your neighbor, except if you're Israel and Palestine. You know,
right.
Love
your neighbor.
Or Israel and you know, the entire Muslim world. Right. You know,
except for the crusades.
Let's pump it along here.
We would have killed more people? I don't get that.
Well, do you remember God murdering everybody on earth? In the Bible, Jesus lied. You know, he worked on the Sabbath day. He broke commandments. He encouraged stealing. God condones and orders adultery in the Bible. He murdered over.
What Bible are you reading, by the way? God also sat down with people who weren't believers. God.
Okay. What Bible am I reading? The King James Version. Then she says, God also sat down with people who weren't believers. How does that excuse
Where?
That God also
Where?
Said,
yeah,
that, yeah, no, well, I guess she's saying Jesus sat down.
Why you sat down with atheists? So we never sat down with atheists.
All right, well, there you go. I wouldn't have known. I don't know the Bible as well as Rook does. Rook's our biblical scholar here.
He also commanded people kill atheists outright. Yeah. In fact, your hands would be the first upon them.
And I'm like so sick, like, you know, you constantly get that, oh, Jesus came down to the earth and he said a couple of nice things. Therefore, all the other horrible things in this whole big fucking book right. don't count anymore. Yeah. You know, like they never happen. It's cool. Like, God loves you, man.
The fact that all of those concepts were already in existence. Jesus did not say anything new. He didn't come up with any kind of moral, like, precepts that did not already exist.
Even the Beatitudes existed.
Yeah,
that's the scrolls.
You know, it's not like this Jesus guy came down and said anything original.
All right, let's keep going.
I believe that everybody could be redeemed, and Jesus believed that, and that's why he's a loving God. Because he, you know,
who will
know if
fucking
you
torture you for all eternity if you don't believe in him.
The New Testament, or you don't know the New Testament. A lot of people want to ask you questions, so let's go to Bob and Sandy.
Okay, notice right there, I did not have a chance to respond.
Right.
Okay.
Let's go right to the phone call.
You must not know the New Testament. Right. Okay. You don't know the
New Testament. What Bible are you using? Doesn't respond to when I say I'm using the King James version of the Bible because she knows she's either an idiot about what she believes or she knows that I'm right.
Is
she can't
crazy,
touch it.
Ignorant or lying?
Can we get this bitch on our show?
I asked and they said that that they would write me and they never did.
Yeah. She's not coming on.
KCBQ, Bob.
Oh, yeah, these call-in questions.
Brian is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't really get a chance to answer these either.
You think, like, Laura's an idiot? Just wait.
Yeah, they want to ask you questions, but we're actually not going to let you answer, but, you know, we're going to pretend.
A quantity on all
Well, this actually, this guy tries to do an argument that's one of the dumbest arguments out there, and he doesn't even really get it. He doesn't even present the argument properly, but here you go. He basically answers his own question. Watch, you see. The way in order to do this argument properly, you have to ask somebody and allow them to answer. Watch, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Information. What percentage do you think even the smartest man would have of that? Let me just say maybe 2 or 3%, which makes...
Okay, so see, right, when he does that, he says, what quantity of knowledge do you have in the world? You're supposed to say... You're supposed to allow the person to go, I don't know, maybe like a percent or something like that. So he answers for me. So he answered 2 or 3%. So that's what I have.
Generous. That being the case, how does your reasoned brain even accept the fact that you could even know if there is a God or not, and not knowing if there is one or not?
Okay, so
you're
now
using
he's just
brain,
asked
Brian.
Me a question, and now he's going to answer the question.
It's actually the definition of an agnostic.
Not this
well,
again.
I am an agnostic as well as being atheist. An atheist is somebody who lacks belief in a God, and that's what I am. I also don't know for sure if a God exists, and I don't claim to know if a first cause is known. So I'm agnostic as well.
I never knew you could be both, I guess.
Because I'm a fucking idiot.
Because you're completely uninformed.
To me, that doesn't make sense.
You have
sense.
No
an
clue about anything theological.
The existence of God, but then you said... You don't know if God exists.
She just goes,
and you did this
question.
Whole website to convince people to come forward and say God doesn't exist.
No. We convince people that,
bitch.
That there is no Christian God, okay? And I'll bring that up here. Go ahead, Mike. Hit this a million times.
I know. You can come
into our website. Come to our website and click on the link on the left-hand side. Am I agnostic or atheist? It's rationalresponders.com on the left-hand side. Am I agnostic or atheist? There's a small YouTube video from Jake there about what is atheism. There's a small article from Tadanks there about, you know, merely doubting makes you atheist. If you don't believe in any sort of God, if you don't have a God belief, if you're agnostic, you're listening to the show right now and you're agnostic, let me ask you, which God do you believe in? Okay. Now, if you say, well, I don't have one that I believe in, listen to that.
You're an atheist.
Then you are without belief in a God. Now, Christians, a lot of Christians will tell you that the atheists are people who know for sure there is no God. Technically, that's a Gnostic atheist, okay? That's what they call a strong atheist. A Gnostic is somebody who knows. An agnostic is somebody who claims to be without knowledge. If you look at the roots, you have gnosis, know, and atheism and theism pertain to belief, okay? They're two different subjects.
Gnosticism has to do with knowledge. Theism or atheism has to do with belief.
Right.
Right.
And I just love how this twit is telling you what you believe.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah,
like, right. She's like, well, like, that's not what an atheist is. Then, like, you're like, look.
You don't even know what you are, Brian. You're so dumb that you don't even know what you are.
No, I like what the guy said. He's like, we only have, like, 2 or 3%, like, knowledge in the world,
right.
So we can't understand God. So, like, how can you claim to know all these things about this God?
Classical Ray Comfort
if we can't
argument.
Even understand him.
Well, Francis Collins now uses it, too. It's such
a dumb
argument.
It's the biggest...
Because the problem with the argument is that the Christian is saying that we don't have all the knowledge in the world. So he didn't even make the right argument. He didn't even make the right argument.
Right.
The argument of it, okay, is that, okay, so I don't have all the knowledge in the world. So as an atheist, who he's first of all redefining to be somebody who knows there is no God, which I don't know there is no God. I know the Christian God doesn't exist for damn sure. Okay, I'm more sure the Christian God doesn't exist than I am that I'm even speaking to you right now. That's how fucking sure I am, okay? All right, I'm positive, all right? I bet my life on it, right? In fact, God, the God of the Bible does not exist. If he exists, strike me dead right now. If he exists, I want to go to hell right now. Thank you. Okay, thank you. He's not up there.
God
right?
doesn't do requests.
He doesn't do that stuff.
You can't test God.
Yeah.
You can't test God like that. Oh, you used to be able to do that long time ago, but not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah, right, exactly. Not anymore. They changed the rules. He changed the rules. He didn't know he would have to change the rules. He changed the rules. And you can't do that anymore.
And
sorry,
like,
test right. doesn't work. It didn't prove anything, Sapient. Didn't prove anything.
That voice is so great. You know, in fact, Edward Gibbon, the famous historian of the Roman Empire, stated that it's amazing that these mythologies, all this miracles and stuff like that happened back in the day, and everyone witnessed them back in the day, but all of a sudden they stopped.
Yes.
They stopped.
Yeah. So anyway, so the point that this argument is supposed to go to is that after they redefine atheist, they then say, all right, well, the atheist, since the atheist knows, and you have to admit that in the knowledge that you don't have, there's a chance that God could exist in that knowledge, that you would find some sort of knowledge that proves that God exists. Now, here's the trick in the logic. They then go on to say afterwards that they know for sure that God exists in the 2% of knowledge that they have, and don't realize that this argument is shredded in the fact that in the 98% of knowledge that they don't have, there could be abundant amounts of reasons and proof and evidences to show that their God can't possibly exist. But if you ask them this, they won't admit it. They'll go, but I know. I found one piece of gold in a tooth in China. I know. Okay, for anybody who's familiar with these arguments, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Just look up gold in China and Ray Comfort, and you'll see what I mean.
Well, the really ironic thing is, though, is that they're the ones who claim to know these things. We never claimed to be certain about any of this. They're the ones who are. So, I mean, they refute their own argument.
Right. Well, okay, and not only that, they're basically saying, okay, and they're conflating naturalism and supernaturalism here, among other things, among this gigantic appeal to ignorance. But they're basically saying, okay, we know maybe like 2% of everything there is to know. So then I surmise, therefore, that all these, you know, observations we made about our universe, which are all natural, I then surmise and pull this magical supernatural being out of my ass and then say, oh, well, it could be there. Well, okay, you can't do that. You can't, you know, just wish the supernatural into existence and say that, well, just because it's a possibility, well, then I believe in it. You know, like, we haven't explored the entire solar system, but I could be pretty damn sure that there aren't, you know, pink elephants on Pluto.
It's not even a planet anymore.
There might be.
Oh, wait, the 98% knowledge that you don't have.
There couldn't be. There could be. Right. You'd be fucking idiot to believe
then
it.
You would be an agnostic about pink elephants, not an atheist. Because I'm redefining what... Okay, anyway, so in the chat room, you know, River Run has contributed that it only takes 0.0001% of your brain to realize that God is bullshit. So thank you, River Run. I agree.
Yeah, we need to have a disclaimer, though. Like, the gods that we do not believe in, and just list them and be like, you know, if you would like to present a different God concept to us, we will consider it. These are the gods that we are officially atheist in respect to belief in.
Right. And I think that there could be another, a much smaller list about gods that we know a lot about that we can say certainty that those gods couldn't possibly exist.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a small list, but there are thousands of gods that have been worshipped throughout time that we don't know everything about, you know, and we can't make those kinds of claims.
The Christian God in the Bible is... He's logically contradictory.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
you know,
unless square circles exist and married bachelors exist, the God of the Bible couldn't possibly exist.
Partially pregnant.
I'm partially
pregnant. Just a little bit pregnant.
Yeah, if you can be a little bit pregnant, then maybe there's a chance the God of the Bible exists. In my world, you can't be a little bit pregnant. All right, here we go.
Get back to this vicious bitch.
Well, I think you're living in a Christian-dominated world there. There's more than one God. I'm fairly certain that the Christian God doesn't exist, but it is possible that some sort of alien God or some God that I don't know about does exist.
Yeah, alien God. Is it that hard to understand?
She's thinking like,
oh, alien God.
She's thinking Raelian kind of thing. Though.
No, I'm just saying, you know, a God that is foreign from this planet, okay?
From Earth.
Could that possibly exist? Yeah, present him to me. Maybe he exists, you know?
She can't comprehend that term.
By the way, you guys know the Raelians participated in the Blasphemy Challenge?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly thrilled by that association, but it is kind of cool
weird,
to have. It was kind of cool to have that Rael guy doing a Blasphemy Challenge video.
See, to tell you the truth, you know, like, obviously, I think, you know, the Raelians are off their nut, but I kind of like having them around because they're intelligent design proponents, too. And whenever you get a Christian and you draw that analogy between, you know, creationism and ID, and you say, I agree, we should, you know, teach Raelian ID in class. And they're like, what? Those guys are nut jobs. I'm like, you want the same thing taught.
What I find interesting is that
you believe the same shit. And you just call the guy at the end of it a different thing.
Right.
We really need to do a show on them at some point. Maybe it's better to just do them a little bit embedded in this right now. My concern for the people who believe, you know, what Rael puts out is that they very much pride themselves on being scientific. And yet, at the core of their belief system is that Rael met up with an alien,
yeah.
you know, on top of a mountain that gave him all of the information about, you know, how we came to be. And that there is no God, but that these aliens exist. Well, in my world, that just asks another, that begs another question. Where did those aliens come from?
Other aliens.
You know, and what sort of scientific proof, if we embrace science, does Rael offer to show that this event actually occurred?
I've talked with aliens before. It's an infinite regression of aliens.
The more aliens created those aliens?
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
It's elephants all the way down. It's aliens all the way down.
I want to draw an analogy.
Or it's turtles all the way down.
Let's go to Michael in Indianapolis. Michael, line 6. You're talking to Brian Sapien.
Yes. Why do you say we evolved when all the evidence for evolution has been lies or been proven wrong?
That's simply, you know, Christian propaganda. I implore you to do your own research and find out for yourself, and don't believe what you've been told by the church.
Just move on.
everything they used to prove evolution has been proven to be wrong or a lie. I mean, what will...
When your argument has just been pwned, restate it.
Do you have any evidence on evolution, or why do you believe evolution?
Of course, we have a lot of that on our website, and I would suggest if you have some peer-reviewed publications or some scientific experts that have shown that evolution is false, you know, bring it to our website. It's rationalresponders.com, and we engage people in conversation about these issues all the time.
Hey, Brian, have you ever thought of just getting a job?
All right.
That's a low blow. Right there.
Seriously.
Isn't she a radio talk show host?
Yeah. Hey, Laura, have you ever thought that you do the exact same thing as me, you dumb bitch?
Yeah. Job.
Okay, but wait a sec. You know what? Let's not even touch the evolution. We don't have enough time. Let's not even touch the evolution.
The next time somebody says that, you should just say, that argument is so idiotic. It doesn't even deserve a response.
It didn't deserve a response. I basically said, bring your peer-reviewed publications to our website.
Yeah.
And that's it. And come on over. And he never came. He never came. So, you know, maybe because there isn't a peer-reviewed publication that says that every fact of evolution has been proven wrong.
Their name will also be on willgetbacktoyou.com.
Right, exactly.
I'll get back to you on that.
All right, so, so then she says, have you ever thought about getting a job? Let's see what I say.
I had a job for a long time. I've never been more happy in my life than I am right now.
Well, I would be happy if I didn't have to work and mommy and daddy could pay for me, too.
How did she make that leap, though? That freaking leap.
Now,
Oh, my God!
I stayed it in a second here, but this is where she really lost her audience. This is where she really lost her audience, because this is nothing. Nothing. Thing to do with God belief and the blasphemy.
She's like, I'm just going to kick you in the balls.
She didn't kick me in the balls, though. She made my day. She made my day, dude. I mean, she did a greater service to us than we could ever have imagined happening on that show. People, seriously, like, the attention that we got from that, I mean, it was unbelievable. So, have I ever thought about getting a real job? Yeah, I worked hard. Mommy and daddy do not support me. She goes on a rant for 3 minutes here, and then I come back to the point because I was muted the whole time. My mommy and daddy do not support me, nor have they since I was 17 years old. My mother hasn't supported me since I was 12, okay? I don't live with my mommy or daddy, and I work much longer than probably any of you do. Okay, I probably work longer than every person listening to this podcast right now, including Laura Ingram. I would bet my life on that. Okay, I mean, I didn't even know that it was humanly capable. I had to do the math a couple of times. 140 hours a week is my cap. Okay, I'm trying to push to get to 141 at some point. All right, I really want to break the 140 barrier. All right, but I can put in 140 hours of work a week. All right, so touch that, okay, Laura, whoever's listening, and tell me that I don't have a job, all right? And then do me a favor also, all you self-employed people at home right now, don't ever listen to Laura Ingram again, okay? If you're self-employed, Laura Ingram says, why don't you just get a real job? You know, don't be entrepreneurial. Don't have a vision.
Don't support our
country. Don't try to make something positive happen from within your home so that you have a little bit more time to see your family. You know, don't do any of that. You just go out and get a real job. In fact, the entire self-employed community should just crumble overnight by the vicious arguments of Laura Ingraham. Okay? I mean, seriously. I mean, she has to have, in her 5 to 7 million listeners, self-employed people. I hope they all took extreme offense to what she said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, I don't know. If they ever took you off of mute, it should have been like, Laura, it's completely clear by the fact that you're attacking me personally that you know you have nothing with which to argue with me logically. Absolutely nothing.
All right, anyway, here we go.
But I actually have to work for a living, as do a lot of other people. I'm just wondering, at some point...
Yeah, like I said, I put in more hours than Laura Ingraham for less money, okay? And I do the same thing that she does! The same thing! Here I am, talking to people on the radio.
Except we don't mute people when they...
Yeah, exactly. We don't have a mute button at all on our show. There is no mute button.
We might actually let you speak, even though what you're saying might make us want to deafen ourselves. We'll let you say it. I'm committing myself to not making another ad hom as long as we're listening to her.
Personally challenging yourself to not ad hom the ad hom queen.
So vindictive cunt. Like twice as much to make up for you.
Although, I think it's
not an ad hom if she actually is a vindictive cunt.
I was just going to say it's not really an ad hom unless I'm saying that solely to try to discredit her and therefore make her whatever argument she's making untenable. But since she's not really making an argument, then it really doesn't matter.
Okay. Oh, well, here you go.
A lot of other people. And I'm just wondering, at some point, I mean, do you ever ask yourself, why are you so committed to, I guess, in some way, poo-pooing what other people believe?
And he's not doing that.
Why is it such an obsession? I mean, I know that atheists are out there.
Notice I didn't have a chance to answer.
You never. Yeah. She doesn't even give you an opportunity to speak at all.
I'm not sure if the answer comes up here, but I mean, yes, of course I think about what it is and why I do what I do. And, well, let's see. It's only the biggest lie told on Earth. So, I mean, there's people that make stands on much less than that. You know, they take little issues and they make it the focal point of their life, you know? And, I've happened to just pick the biggest lie on Earth. So, of course, I think about why I do what I do.
But, I mean, smell the fucking hypocrisy here. You know, why do you go around poo-pooing what other people believe?
Well, right, which is what she's
what
doing.
What the hell
to me.
Did you just do there?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, let's see here.
Gnostics, and yeah, that's just the way the world is, and I can, you know, try to talk to them and say this is what I believe, and maybe it'll change some minds, but I don't stay up at night thinking that there are all these people out there who, you know, are agnostics and atheists, but it seems like you are up at night worrying about all these crazy Christians.
He'd be a fucking fool not to.
Yeah, let's see what she says. By the way, I don't stay up at night. I sleep very well at night, actually.
It's a little unfair what you just did, by the way. I work about 100 to 140 hours a week. And additionally, my mom and dad don't pay for me. I have a very loving girlfriend who very much believes in what I'm doing. And what we do believe in is that religious faith is dangerous and that it is changing the scope of the world. And, it's something that we need to help rid the planet of. Faith is not something you to use. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So would you, I was just going to say.
Notice I let her speak.
I love that.
Notice I let her speak.
Would you have the Catholic Charities across the globe disband, leave their posts, leave the AIDS orphanages that no one will go into? And I
fuck you.
Taking care of all that AIDS they help create?
Right. No one will go into them. We'll go into them. We do go into them. Atheists go into them.
Not only that,
check out atheistvolunteers.org. Well, I just got done telling you guys about the Okello family.
Exactly.
We're going there. Yeah. We're there right now.
Well, we probably shouldn't say that they helped create it, but they have done absolutely nothing to stop the spread of it, and therefore are potentially accessories in the spread of AIDS. But if we say they helped create it, then people are going to be able to say, no, they didn't. How did they create AIDS? You're blaming AIDS on
God,
the Catholic.
Well, yeah, God created AIDS.
God, if he exists, created AIDS.
But the Catholic Church exacerbates the problem by, you know.
Well, they don't do anything to stop the spread of it.
Well, worse than that, they tell people that condoms are against God's will and contrary to what God wants you to do. And to do that to a person in AIDS-ridden sub-Sahara Africa,
is essentially to give them a death sentence.
Yeah. All right, let's go on here.
I mean, no one. Leave the war-torn parts.
She says, I love how they do this. I mean, you know, no one will go into it. I mean, no one. As if when you say a lie twice, it suddenly becomes true.
Or if I say it louder.
Yeah, it doesn't become true, Laura. Okay, people are going in there.
World where no one will go.
There's a third no one. There's a third no one.
People who believe in something greater than themselves and greater than...
The only people who will go in are people that are greater than themselves. That's actually a fourth no one, really.
It's ironic that I believe in something greater than myself.
What is
the salvation
that?
Of humanity.
He believes in me.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Through Mike. I believe in the salvation of humanity through Jake.
Perhaps a website. Would you have them leave?
There are atheists that go to these, you know, places. They just don't do it in the name of atheism when they go. So it's not as, you know, well known. They don't create...
Do you actually...
Okay. Now, you heard my point. Here comes the most retarded analysis and comprehension skills that you will have heard this week. In the world, okay? There will be I guarantee you, there will be nothing more retarded than this logic right here.
And that's saying a lot.
I said, let's see if I can replay the clip a little bit here. Okay, here you go. Let's listen to this again.
They go to these, you know, places. They just don't do it in the name of atheism when they go. So it's not as, you know, well known. They don't create...
Do you actually, Brian, are you actually going to try to tell me that the majority of the charity work done in the world is done by atheists? Are you kidding me?
Well, the majority of the world is Christian. It would just come to reason that if all things were fair, that 80% of the world, you know, that believes in a God, that 80% of the world would be
people. Who do you think?
Okay, all right. Now she's...
But you should have just said at that point, like, I've already discovered that since you just continue muting me, it's absolutely pointless to try to say anything to you. So, no, I'm not trying.
Right. Well, I mean, see, here what happened is, I mean, if you guys, you know, listen to that, I said that atheists do go into these areas. She said, are you actually trying to tell me that the majority of people are atheists? And then I said, no, 80% of the world believes in a God. So it would call to reason that 80% of the people would be theists who go into these areas. If we were, all things were morally equal. You would expect that 80% of the volunteers in the world would be theist. So my point would actually be different. My point would be that 20% of the people that go into these areas are atheistic. Well, she starts going there, so,
she de-evolved. I think she
de-evolved.
What do you
think Martin Luther King was? How about the women's suffrage movement?
What does Martin Luther get to that?
What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Holy, that's got to be the biggest fucking non sequitur I've ever heard in my life.
Is one of the procreators of slavery to begin with.
Yeah. You should have just said, okay, well, most of the people who supported slavery. And, yeah, you know what? You know, the difference is that I can get up and, like, actually hurt you. And unfortunately, you weren't able to do that to Laura Ingraham. So, anyway. Yeah, well, I mean, she's saying...
We gotta come up with a new name for her.
That retarded cunt. How's that?
Okay, from now on until the end of the show, Laura Ingraham will be referred to as that retarded cunt.
Sweet.
Okay. Listen, Mike, you are not allowed to say Laura Ingraham for the rest of the show. Okay?
You may only say that retarded cunt.
Okay?
I used the term earlier, vindictive, condescending cunt.
That retarded cunt.
AKA bring...
any deviation...
Every free movement in the
tongues.
World had a religious that component to it.
God speaking to us through that retarded cunt.
Well, hold on, that retarded cunt just said that every freedom movement in the world was, inspired by religion, like the Renaissance. God.
How about the Dark Ages? How about the freaking Crusades? And like we were just saying, the people who opposed.
800
Yeah. Who opposed Brian, like, continually making that really annoying noise?
Hold on one sec. Hold on.
This is, like, hurting.
If the atheists had their way, there wouldn't have been any of that.
Wow. What do you think we're doing right now? This is a freedom movement right now.
Let's look back at all of the... Did you just mute us? Okay. The atrocities that have occurred during the course of recorded human history. And let's just calculate how many of them were ultimately based on religion. Even if the progenitor of that movement didn't personally believe that, like, because you always get into the argument with Hitler and like, Hitler a Christian? He wasn't really a Christian. Look at this. La, la, la. But he did in the very beginning of his rise to power, he definitely used Christianity as a way to get the support of the German people.
He vilified atheism.
Definitely. So whether or not he personally believed it, I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't think that George W. Bush is any more of a Christian than I am. So my point is, religion is used as a tool to get into that highly motivated base of sheep who are willing to do anything and donate anything in order to support whoever says they're, you know, they are a fellow Christian. So, you know, let's count them up. You know, actually, maybe we should do that. In response to Laurie Ingraham, we should seriously.
You've been fined.
Sorry, that retarded
you've
cunt.
You've been fined.
But what's the fine? I don't think you actually, you said we'd be fined, but I don't know what it is.
Three Hail Marys. It would be obscene to discuss it right now over the airwaves.
A blowjob?
It would be obscene to discuss it right now. Okay.
Okay.
We'll deal with
all
that
right,
later.
Whatever.
All right. Mike,
okay.
Mike and Rook's fine will be completely different.
I am definitely
different.
Not going to call her anything besides retarded cunt.
Yeah.
If that's the fine.
Wow.
I will let you punish
like you, Brian,
me later. Okay, so anyway. You know, maybe what we should do is go through this tape and write down every question that she asks but doesn't let you answer, and then post the real answers to those questions. If Laura... God damn it!
That's two.
Dude, I'm seriously going to be like sucking dick for like the next 2 days.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
If we were allowed to answer these questions...
She's doing it on purpose now.
She just loves the cock.
Yeah, this is just my like underhanded way of like
Ingram?
Getting to do it.
Are we talking about that return?
You have to pay a fine too.
I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. All right.
All right. Okay. Well, so like, does that just like knock off one of my
Either
owed
way.
Things,
or
do
I
have to still do both
to
of mine,
yes.
and then you have to do yours? Okay.
It could be your call later.
Cool. So anyway, you know,
so you can just like two of those
knock right.
off your load
okay.
downers and
we were not permitted to answer these questions on air due to that retarded cunt's mute buttons. So here are the answers. And if that retarded cunt would ever like to, you know, actually entertain the concept of having a real, logical, intellectual discussion, then she is free to come on our show at any time.
Okay, let's get back to it.
Let's actually go through and count all these questions.
You know, I'm not going to take the time to do that, but anybody out there is willing, you know,
welcome
to.
Well, I'll at least do the stuff that's, like, easily accessible historically. I mean, obviously, you couldn't go through.
Are we talking about your payment later, about easily accessible, or are we talking about this?
I'm talking about researching major atrocities
okay,
that have
all right,
used
so.
Religion as a way to garner public
right.
support.
Just back to me. That retarded cunt.
Right, right. Go ahead.
Gandhi, yeah, he was a real threat to the world, too. Or maybe he was, according
actually.
To your website. I don't know.
He wasn't a Christian, you retarded.
No, actually, Gandhi wasn't that bad of a person. But, you know,
Gandhi's
funny
cool.
is that Gandhi's in hell, if the Bible is true.
What's even worse is that, he basically came up with this idea of suffering... through for your beliefs.
Well, there's some
it's dangerous as well.
There's some stuff out there about Gandhi that people who like Gandhi wouldn't want to hear. I mean, you can look it up. Yeah. But
like how he used to sleep with naked women every night, naked women other than his wife every single night in order to prove his power to control his sexual impulses.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff out there. Let's play the clip because this segment's getting long. So let's play the clip. Back to that return to cut.
Well, you need to learn more about the Catholic faith because it's
I grew up Catholic.
Don't tell me that. My head hurts.
Yeah, let me try to figure out a way to interrupt you. I'm having another brain aneurysm.
You grew up as a Catholic? Oh no! Sure. All right. My head hurts. I'm hurting. All right, hold on. We're gonna get to some more questions.
That was when I had a chance to say five words. I had a chance to say five words, and then it's commercial break.
We're back on the Laura Ingraham Show. Brian Sapien from the website rationalresponders.com. He's the co-founder of the website, and they have a blasphemy challenge going. And apparently, Brian, you've gotten, 35 people to say that they've moved 30, from
35.
What being what
was my number?
Fucking believe that return
atheist, agnostic, or whatever it is you're calling yourself.
Yeah, that number actually needs to be changed. It's probably more like 60 or 70 at this point. In the 9 months since we started the Rational Responders website, many more people have come forward. That number was put up before the website was even created, or at the time the website was created.
Okay, I'm going to go through a list of people. You tell me whether you think they're smart or not.
Here comes
smart.
Dumb argument of the year.
Are you smarter than they?
You can hear me laughing already because I already know where this dumb retarded cunt is. Oh, sorry, retarded cunt is going with this.
The ridiculous appeal to
authority. Yeah. This appeal to intelligence. I mean, yeah, is an appeal to intelligence or
argument from great people?
Yeah, argument from great people. Yeah, so.
The argument.
You know, had I been a real just jerk, I would have just returned by saying, are you smarter than Richard Dawkins? Are you smarter than Albert Einstein? Are you smarter than Stephen Hawking? Are you smarter than, and just, I would have just kept going and going. Are you smarter than Bill Gates? Are you smarter than Warren Buffett? You know, are you smarter than, Nobel Prize winning physicist Steven Weinberg?
Are you smarter than a box of rocks, you retarded cunt?
Smart. Galileo.
Galileo was smarter than me.
Galileo wasn't even really a Christian.
Than I. Da Vinci.
Right. Oh, by the way, then me.
Galileo was
by the way,
forced.
Then
to
me
go
is correct
and
proper
say
usage
he was a
of
Christian.
The English language.
There you go. You see? Galileo
Da Vinci
used proper English.
Da Vinci.
That's me being funny.
Smarter.
Aquinas.
Yeah, might be smarter than him.
Definitely not a sexist.
Isaac Newton.
Actually, then him is proper usage of English.
Newton was smarter.
John Paul II.
Oh, this is such a bad game. I mean, should I list atheists?
No, it's not.
It's actually not. I don't have a chance to make my point.
Mute.
I'm cut off here.
I don't like what he's saying. Mute.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to talk over him. I wasn't muted there quite yet. I get muted as soon as she starts talking.
Bad game. It's actually illustrating a very important
now
point.
Now I'm muted.
No, what point is that?
Which is that you have somebody. You have a very shaky foundation.
You can hear my volume. Watch this. Just need this for vindictiveness. I just need to return. Look. I'm muting Laura Ingraham. She's down to 1% on the volume. Cause I'm just gonna talk over you. That's the plan. You're not gonna put that on this show.
If you are where you are right now, something went wrong somewhere, and this is my
ultimate appeal to emotion.
Yeah,
right there.
I'm an atheist because something went wrong in my life.
How about there's something wrong with your ability to think logically? How about plugging in your brain, you fucking retarded cunt,
Brian? What made you hate God so much? Did God touch you in the bad place?
Well, Mike.
Show us on a doll where God touched you.
Did God ever ask you to do something that you weren't comfortable with?
Is that I believe at some point in the future, maybe it won't be tomorrow, maybe it won't be in 2 weeks, you are going to have such a major turnaround on what you're doing.
Oh,
it's probably going to be the best day of your life.
I don't have any desire to change an atheist's beliefs or a believer's belief, but if the motivation to believe there's no God, therefore in the afterlife, if there's such thing, it's just darkness, then your motivation is to guide them to that darkness. Whereas if there's a paradise or a loving God to live forever with, and religion is motivating them to go there, I know it's not a... I won't know till afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a personal thing, I think, with each person and God. That's why you don't say who goes and who. I'm not making much of a point, but that's all I got for now.
He wasn't making a point.
No. Right. He admitted he's not making a point. But the best part about this is, okay, the point is for me. The caller is calling the show to address me
guess who gets to respond? Guess who gets to respond to the Christian caller?
The retarded cunt.
Yes. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead. Listen.
Flop those cunt lips.
Listen. Now, would you think?
We
would
can
you
actually
think,
hear her labia.
Would you think that
laughing in the wind.
Hear her labia like?
Would you think
no, that's just,
that
that's
she
just
would agree with the Christian caller, or do you think that she would disagree with the Christian caller?
I'm thinking she'll probably agree.
And the majority of the audience, what do you think they would think she would do? Do you think they would think that she would agree with the Christian caller or disagree with the Christian caller?
Probably agree.
Yeah, let's see what she does.
I mean, his point is, if you're going to roll the dice, why not roll? And at least if you believe, at least, you know, if you're right, there's a pretty long afterlife if you get to the right place. And
well,
if not, then
pick the
you
right
know,
God.
Oh, the right God. Okay.
Here comes the doozy. All right. Pascal's wager. Google it. Google, put Pascal's wager in quotes and Google, and then put the word refuted separately. Okay. And you can see how many refutations are out there for Pascal's wager. I knew that I would have 5 words before I got cut off. So my argument was as simplistic as could possibly be. You have to pick the right God. She's saying roll the dice, and you're rolling the dice and you're picking no God. And I'm picking the Christian God, so therefore I'm at less risk. However, you have to pick the right God. What do you think her refutation of my point would have been? You just take a guess, okay? What would your refutation of that point be? Okay, I'm gonna don't
shut
hold on,
up.
No. What do you think her refutation of that point would be? Just think about that for a moment in your minds. I want you to think about what your refutation would be, and I guarantee you couldn't even come close to the stupidity and the arrogance of this retarded cunt.
Few major ones that the world believes in today. I mean, if you believe in Allah, Yahweh is going to be very upset if he's the right God, or vice versa.
What does your girlfriend do for a living that she can support this? I'm just curious.
I have got to be. Yeah, the retarded cunt has no logical argumentation to use, so she just fucking changed it to. What does your girlfriend have? Yeah. Just goes back to the same shit she's been using all fucking night to try to disparage you.
Fuck you and the one point I've let you make the entire show. Fuck you. What does your girlfriend do that she allows this?
You know what's funny is that Chris, aka Tudangst, also made the point that, you know, she makes about the same points that a troll on our forum would make, like a 15-year-old troll on our forum would make.
He had said that, you know, if a troll that came on our website that would be banned within a day has better arguments than Laura Ingram.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's like...
Oh, fuck.
Dude, man.
Oh, better be exercising your tongue, dude, because you are going to be fucking eating that shit for a long-ass time.
Basically, you know, it's like so retarded, the points that she's making. It's not even funny.
Bang, chicka, picka, bang, now.
No, it's not that expensive. We work... Because the goals.
I don't know why this feed is cutting out, but it's probably just as well. This feed on this, it just keeps skipping every 10 seconds. I don't know what that
we
is.
We already know that retarded cunt has absolutely nothing to say that's worth hearing.
Can you believe that, guys? No. Her refutation of Pascal's wager
was
what does your girlfriend do for a living?
Do
you believe that? If you are a Christian and you are listening to this right now and you have not just lost all of your respect for Laura Ingram, please make sure
boom, that's fucking 4, dude.
Please make sure to never write me an email. Never contact me, okay? Because you do not meet the minimum 30 IQ to have a conversation with me.
You know what?
Okay?
The next time a Christian like uses like a free will theodicy or a free will defense on me, I'm going to ask them what they had for lunch. it would be the same thing.
Yeah. Actually, you should have
asked. What did you have for lunch?
And how much did you pay for it?
Yeah. It's like ham and cheese? Well, that's why you're wrong. it's like the equivalent of like, you know, he's like, that's stupid. So is your face. So is your face. You know, so is your face works for everything.
I'll rubber your glue. Whenever you say bounces on me, it sticks on you.
Yeah, really.
So is your face.
Sorry. Are much more important to us. So.
Is there a higher goal here?
Well, you know, hopefully to the world of the environment. Question other people on.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
You should have asked that retarded cunt if she's using some kind of like a voice changing machine, because we all know that she really meant cutting this if she didn't.
I'm curious. You just rolling the dice. I picked the dirt and died.
Retarded cunt. You have to pick the right god.
That ain't the thing. What did they do for dirt and damage?
Must to believe without proof.
We question everything. This is what Brian. There's an interfaith debate going on across the globe, in case you haven't noticed.
And notice how she doesn't allow us to have it. Not on that show.
Oh, but notice it's an interfaith debate.
You know, yeah, interfaith, not inter non-faith.
Right, right. It's like, which one of our ridiculous claims is right?
Yeah. You know?
It's like, whose invisible man is stronger? Like, whose imaginary friend wins?
My imaginary friend has a bigger dick than yours does.
Totally stronger than your god.
And this Pope actually started down that road of not only building bridges, but having a conversation about the different faiths and where it intersects. Well, we'll see. This is ongoing, and it's important, and
I'm just getting tired
we're glad
of
we had you on. We have a lot of people on the line. I wish we could talk to you longer. I'm sure we'll check back in with you. Brian Sapien,
RationalResponders.com. She wishes she could talk to me longer. Now, she wouldn't dare.
Let's go to Jill Jackson.
She wouldn't dare talk to more callers where she could have just kept me on the line to respond, right?
Because she said she wishes she could talk to you longer.
Yeah.
She wouldn't dare bring anybody else on the show to talk.
I really wish I could just fucking mute you longer.
Yeah. Right. There's no way she would do it. Tune in for the next 30 seconds of our show to find out if she does.
In a chat.
Matt Damon!
When Super Christian says something, you just respond, Matt Damon!
Matt Damon!
That's great.
Well, North Carolina, former missionary, Jill.
Missionaries in Africa spreading AIDS? Well, how about in the Xhosa culture, the belief is that raping a virgin will cure the rapist of AIDS. So
irrational. Yeah, irrational.
It's fucking
we're against
ridiculous.
That too. That's as dumb as what you believe.
Like, do you think that's something that we support?
Well, actually, I'm drinking the blood of virgins right now. But
well, worse than what Christians do. They drink the blood of Christ every day. And if you think about it, if they have AIDS and they drink the blood of Christ, would they be giving Christ aid?
Jesus gave me hepatitis C.
Yeah, well, because you would have to assume that then Jesus actually has AIDS or hepatitis, which, I mean, if he doesn't exist, he clearly can't have diseases that really do exist. So, anyway, the only disease he has is the disease of non-existence.
Maybe that's how AIDS is spreading so fast, that people drink the blood of Christ.
Right.
But those people aren't going to church and drinking the blood of Christ, so I don't think we're going to be able to make that argument.
Alrighty.
Killing babies and spreading AIDS at the same time, and that's their cultural belief.
Oh, Jill, excellent.
Cultural or religious?
One point, and I think if Brian actually spent some time with missionaries across the world where they're working in the most deplorable conditions, he might have a different view.
Like,
I do. I actually give them money on behalf of the Rational Response Squad. Check out earthword.org and atheistvolunteers.org. There's atheist missionaries. That's right.
Yeah. If they spent some time with the missionaries who are down there, then they might just learn that there's absolutely nothing you can do practically to stop the spread of AIDS. So, sorry. You know, and only course, have sex with one person and hope that that one person doesn't already have AIDS. There are no such things as condoms. And of course, masturbation is an evil sin. So, you know, sorry.
I'm wondering how much time the retarded cunt spends in Africa.
We have some, in fact, we have, yes, exactly. Yes.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
We have somebody in our chat room that's asking, does the retarded cunt work with missionaries?
Yeah. I'm
telling you, people who come out as these, you know, committed atheists, there's often a turnaround. I hold out a lot of hope for even people like Brian. So, in the end, I think it'll be okay. It's just,
can you name more than one?
There's often a turnaround.
One? Can you name more than one?
Yeah, really.
Committed atheist by
me. Anthony Flew. And wait, he was wait, old wait. And
yes.
Like,
can you name
dementia.
Now? Can you name one that didn't have dementia? Name one outspoken atheist that's didn't known for his atheism.
Didn't Alan Dundas? No, wait, he died.
That had a turnaround. Name one that
Carl Sagan, no, wait.
No, it escapes me, and that would be something that I would surely know about because Christians would harp on it all the time.
Yes, and the only one is Anthony Flew, and the guy is like 80 years old and has succumbed to a very basic logical fallacy.
Yeah. And I can actually think of quite a few
evolutionists in the chat
Christians
like,
who became atheists.
Let's make sure that the audience knows Darwin did not recant on his deathbed. And you can go to answersingenesis.org, a site for Christians that will expose the lie and basically get upset because Christians are using this lie. And it's a horrible, horrible argument.
Okay. I can actually think of quite a few Christians who have become atheists. And
I'll name one just for evidence sake. Dan Barker, Freedom from Religion Foundation, was a preacher.
Okay, let me.
Me?
I have a specific story in mind. I don't remember this guy's name, although I'm sure we could look it up. But in the beginning of Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, because I read that shit. He talks about the person who was actually Billy Graham's partner for like many years in the beginning of Billy Graham's ministry. They were friends growing up and he converted to atheism. And Lee Strobel went to his house to interview him. Oh yeah, Templeton, that's it. Yeah, he does have a book also. Anyway, he went to his house to interview him. And this is like the story that he starts his whole book out with. And, you know, Templeton is sitting there in his old age, really sick. And he literally starts to cry and says, you know what? I really wish I could believe in God because right now I'm sitting here looking at my own death. You know I am going to die and I know it's going to be soon. Yeah, Charles Templeton, that was his name. And, you know, ultimately he just says, I just can't. I cannot believe in it because it makes no sense. And honestly, I think that most people, okay, other than the fact that God is clearly an evil creature, I hesitate to use the word evil because I hate to put moral judgments on things, but anyway, I think by his actions, we could pretty much assume that he's evil.
It's not hard in this case.
Yeah. That every single atheist, if you ask them, would you like to believe in an afterlife? Would you like to believe that after you die, you don't really just cease to exist? You get to go to some other place where everything's perfect. Every single fucking one of us would say, yeah, you know? And here's a man who, like, Billy Graham is the most famous evangelist of all time, really. I mean, I don't think that anybody could think of one who's more famous or more successful than Billy Graham.
Right.
And he actually hasn't, you know, gone out and like smoked meth with a gay prostitute. So that makes it, you know, he's kind of relatively.
That we know about.
Yeah, that we know about. He hasn't, he's relatively, you know, safe for Christians to endorse. And, you know, here's a guy who worked with him for a really long time and is literally sitting there crying because emotionally he wants to believe it, but he just can't do it intellectually.
So we were going to move on, guys, because we're going to bring Eric in the fray here, who I just decided to put him in this show because he also had a problem with the Laura Ingraham interview. He deconverted as a result of our arguments. I thought it'd be a good way to bring you know, him in on a show where, you know, we were berated and, you know, it's like, you know, do you ever consider what you're doing? And just this, you know, whole, why do you do what you do? And, coming up is the reason why we do what we do. So don't forget to check out our sponsors, evolvefish.com, doubledoe.com, evolvefish.com, of course, is the home of the Evolve Fish, a rational response to the Jesus Fish. And they have all sorts of free thought products there that you can stick on your car and on your body and, you know, show people that you're a free thinker and hopefully bump into other free thinkers as a result of wearing something Evolve Fish related. So definitely check them out. You can also, of course, pick up a rationalresponders.com t-shirt while you are there. You can access evolvefish.com by going to our website, rationalresponders.com, clicking on the left-hand side, Atheist Goodies, and you'll access the Rational Response Squad store on Evolve Fish, and they will in turn be able to track how much business comes from advertising with us, which is very crucial to what we do. And don't forget to check out doubledoe.com, one of our largest donators who hosts all of our servers and our networks.
his website has shirts that will make your grandmother cry. So definitely check that out and make grandma cry. Do it for the squad. Okay. Do it for us. And, check out our blood drive, atheistvolunteers.org. Check out our blood drive. Oh, that's right. How could we do something good? We're atheists. We don't do anything good. If we had our way, there would be blah, 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 blah.
We're just sending out these other people that we have brainwashed, and they're just wearing these outfits that we made to look just like the Red Cross. And really, we're taking all of those people's blood so that we can drink it and use it in our sacrificial rituals later.
We will be right back.
Bowling for Columbine did it to the gun culture. Supersize Me did it to fast food. Now the God who wasn't there does it to religion. Holding modern Christianity up to a bright spotlight, this bold and often hilarious new film asks the questions few dare to ask. Your guide through the world of Christendom is former fundamentalist Brian Fleming, joined by such luminaries as Jesus Seminar fellow Robert Price, Professor Richard Dawkins, author Sam Harris, and historian Richard Carrier. See the movie the Los Angeles Times calls provocative, to put it mildly. Hold on to your faith. It's in for a bumpy ride. Purchase The God Who Wasn't There at www.rationalresponders.com.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Response Squad. This spot would be the perfect place for you to advertise your free thought-related business or organization. With rates as low as 2 cents per listener, we blow away the advertising competition. Furthermore, what better way to spread the word than to support an organization fighting to free humanity from the mind disease known as theism? Send a message to rationalresponsesquad@hotmail.com to learn about our rates. Again, that's rationalresponsesquad@hotmail.com. Your ad could be right here in next week's episode.
Did you know Harvard University has a humanist chaplaincy dedicated to building, educating, and nurturing a diverse community of agnostics and atheists at Harvard and beyond? Harvard's humanist chaplaincy celebrates its 30th anniversary on April 20th through the 22nd. That's April 20th through the 22nd, with the conference featuring acclaimed novelist Salman Rushdie, great scientist Steven Pinker, and E.O. Wilson, rock singer Dar Williams, and many more. Register and apply for student travel scholarships at www.thenewhumanism.org. That's www.thenewhumanism.org. Spots are running out quickly, so hurry up.
This is Cole Clean, representing the Rational Response Squad. Check out my new album, Question Everything, at ColeCleanCreations.com.
You're brainwashed by religion, brainwashed by greed, brainwashed by everything. Your parents mislead, read some philosophy. Education sets you free, your religion makes you blind. The truth is never written, not in any single book. It's written in the millions, gonna change your outlook. I'm exposing fake teachers, damaging religious leaders when they brainwash you with hate, hellfire, punishment. Unleash by the gods who believe what they say is true. It just doesn't seem certain. How does it seem to you? I'm doubting you too. Nobody's ever right. Don't ever try to tell me what heaven looks like. You've never been there.
Got my new album, Question Everything, at PoleCleanCreations.com. Support Free Thought Hip Hop. What up?
We gotta question everything. Yes, question everything. Question everything. Yes, question everything. Question everything. Yes, question everything.
Hi, this is David Mills, author of Atheist Universe, and the number one site on the entire internet for free thought is the Rational Response Squad at rationalresponders.com. I visit every day, and you're listening to the Rational Response Squad.
I thought after that Laura Ingraham rebuttal, I thought maybe we should bring somebody on who, first of all, has benefited from the discussions that we've had on the internet and has
just the same opinion we do of Lar Ingram, and he comes from a recent theistic background. So now on the line with us is Eric. Eric, thanks for joining us, buddy.
No problem.
Okay, let's give the audience a little background. I initially met you on Ignorance Isn't Bliss, in which, in my personal opinion, it turned out that for most of the people posting on that community, ignorance, in fact, was bliss. Of course, we don't even need to get into that, although, I mean, I guess the end result is that there were quite a few people there that didn't really want to hear arguments against theism. I believe the group leader there was Muslim. But you were, in my opinion, one of the most open-minded and pleasant guys there at the time, and it wasn't at all obvious that, you know, you would, you know, have what it took to abandon religion, but within probably about a month, I guess, of dialoguing with myself and a couple other people, you ended up coming to the Infidel Guy MySpace community, and you posted there a bunch of times, and you ended up abandoning religion.
Yes, I did.
Now, so, but afterwards, I think you had what probably most Christians or theists would have, this sort of desire to believe, this, like, I guess maybe it's ingrained in you from birth, you know. I mean, even there's been studies done that, you know, before a child's even born, they hear God reference X thousands of numbers of times. And so you sort of had this, I guess, deep-seated desire to believe, and ended up running with a couple people that kind of helped you fall back into that. And then you didn't really come to me to see how I would debunk those arguments, and so it became easy for you to fall back into the theistic mindset. Do you think I've analyzed that somewhat properly there?
Yes, you have.
Okay, and then you send me an IM here or there, but I mean, I'm just so busy that, you know, in my mind, it's like, oh, man, here's the guy who was a Christian and he left it, and then he just wants to believe, and it's like, what are you going to do? What can you even say to that? There's nothing really you can say to that. You know, other than just to keep beating it into your head, and I didn't have the time, so I just kind of left it alone, and we didn't really talk about religion much, and you didn't really bring up anything specific, but you IM'd me a little while ago and said, you know, hey, what's up, and I pretty much my standard response has always been, you an atheist yet? And this time I was, you know, delighted and stunned to hear you, in fact, have become atheist again.
Yes.
So, and in fact, you said that this time it's been 3 months, and something along the lines of part of the reason you didn't contact me was because you wanted to make sure, and you usually when you go back to your old ways, you do it within a month, and so we've gotten through this big 3 month barrier, and it's like, you know, this crucial mark in time when you can feel solid in the fact that you have officially left religion for good.
Yeah.
And in fact, what'd you say? You said something about gospel music makes you sick now or something.
I go into church. I went into church a couple of weeks ago, and hearing the music made me so mad because they say that, you know, he's such a loving God, and then I just think what's going on, and it's like, well, if he is, then why is this happening? And it just ticks me off every time I hear it.
If he's a loving God, then why is gospel music being sung? Is that what you...
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
well, okay.
Why is the stuff in the world going on? You know?
Okay. Like,
yeah, damn that gospel music.
Well, okay. Well, let's just, for the benefit of the audience, is there something that you can remember back that was like a specific moment that you read a particular argument or anything specific that you said, you know, wow, I can't get over this. I can't get past this. This is what makes it easy for me to leave religion and be, you know, as sure as I can be of something.
Bible, for one, kind of actually helped me not be Christian, which I think is kind of ironic.
You know, like for us, I think we couldn't feel the same way. So I don't, yeah. Because, I mean, they lay out this rule book for us, and then in the rule book, we say, like, oh, God's all loving, but he murdered everybody.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, there's two towns he wiped off the map, besides the whole world, when he flooded it, but, you
right.
know.
Which he knew he would have to do, and decided to do nothing about it, even though he had the power to.
Plus, my friends who are Christians kind of just backstabbed me several times, and, you know, they're like, because I was going through a hard time, and they just didn't care.
Wow. Yeah, that sucks.
And as soon as I said I'm having a hard time believing in God, they're like, we don't care.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not cool. So, you even worked on, like, a election campaign for somebody, too, didn't you?
Yes, 6 months I was campaigning for Governor Woodcock and DM Boys.
Now, you're a Republican, right?
Yes, I still am a Republican.
Okay.
A different one.
Right. That's fine. There are, you know, a couple of a very outspoken atheist Republicans out there. You're not the only one. So,
yeah.
In fact, if you're unfamiliar, Captain O Awesome, Captain O Awesome on YouTube, and it's yourreligionsucks.net is a very outspoken, funny atheist who's also a Republican. So that's pretty much the background. What else do you want to cover before we move on to Laura Ingraham in terms of the theism? What do you think the audience should know about, you know, your deconversion process or the flaws in religion or anything that you've thought that you want to talk about on this broadcast?
Not really. We covered it pretty well. I read the Bible more and more, and I realized more and more how contradiction and ignorant it was. And then, you know, I talked to you guys, and that's pretty much what led to this from my friends and everything else. So that was pretty good in a nutshell, I think.
Excellent. Okay. Now, Laura Ingraham, the weasel of the year for us. What did you think when you heard the Laura Ingraham discussion?
At first I wasn't too appalled, but the more and more I got into it, I realized more and more how rude she was. I mean, when you have a guest on a radio show, you're supposed to let them speak, and she cut you off. I counted at least 8 times.
Yes, it was quite a bit. I think it was in that range probably. You can't really tell because they've completely muted me out, but, you know, there were a bunch of times when the producer was on the line going, you know, no, you can't talk now. You're muted. Yeah, nobody can hear you, so don't even talk. That was rather annoying. So, but what did you think of her argumentation skills? I mean, was she did she miss any points? I mean, what bothered you about the interview more than just her disrespect?
The point where she, she asked you if we followed God's codes more to exact, and you said that we'd all be dead. And she said following, you know, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the show, I thought she was making it sound like parents supporting their children is bad, even though that's what she jumped to conclusions that your parents were paying for you. And
oh, that's an interesting contradiction. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, but that's an interesting contradiction. I hadn't even thought of that. Definitely continue.
And then she put it as that it was bad that they were supporting their children. No, it doesn't matter how old you are. Parents are your parents, and if you're going through a time and they support what you're doing, there's nothing wrong with them, you know, throwing you some support or cash, whatever they may do to support you. I don't see what's wrong with that.
Right. If you're supposed to love everybody like you love yourself, which is something that she thinks is part of some sort of moral code that's embedded in us, and then she yells at me where she incorrectly assumed that my parents play some sort of role in supporting me for a moment. Let's hypothetically say she was right. Yes, my parents are supporting me, even though she was wrong. Then what's so wrong with parents who love you helping you out if the moral code that she adheres to is for everybody to just love one another?
Exactly.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I hadn't thought of it in that way.
That made me very infuriated.
Yes.
Because I don't know. It just made me really mad because I just thought that was pretty contradicting and ignorant for her to say that. And the point where she completely shut down the fact that there are atheist workers out there in Africa or wherever they may be, but she automatically assumed that you were saying that a majority of the people out there were atheists doing this stuff. She didn't ask, like, okay, how much atheists are out there doing this? She just said, are you trying to tell me that a majority of the people out there are atheists helping out these people? And she jumped to conclusions and jumped down your throat way too much. It was a horrible interview.
Yeah, she completely changed the point of what I was saying. You know, I was saying that it would, in fact, I said completely the opposite of what she said. You know, I was saying that you wouldn't expect for the majority of the people doing charity work to be atheists because the atheists are a minority in the world. You would expect that if atheists are doing work, you know, good things, and Christians are doing good things, and we were all about equal in terms of how much we wanted to do good for the world, and 20% of the world is atheistic, then you would think about 20% of the people giving to charity and doing charity work would be atheistic. And that's what I said. And she says, instantly, I'm like giving this argument. And she's like, you're not trying to tell me the majority of the people are atheists. I'm like, you know, I think I was muted at that point. I'm like, you know, I was trying to say, no, that's not what I'm trying to tell you. I'm just trying to tell you that there are atheists out there who do good. And it was like, what does the majority have to do with anything if the atheists aren't the majority of the people in the world, you know?
And but, I thought it was quite funny that she tried to compare your intelligence to, for instance, Da Vinci.
Yeah, right.
I don't see what the point or the point she was trying to get through that. I don't know what she was trying to prove by comparing your intelligence to Da Vinci. And who else was she comparing you to?
Wasn't it Hitler?
it was Thomas Aquinas, and Isaac Newton was another.
Isaac Newton.
And maybe Galileo. I forget who. But yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
The argument was pretty silly if you consider for a moment that if by them, you know, believing that makes, and they're smarter than me, and therefore they're right, then therefore she must admit that, you know, famous atheists like, you know, a Richard Dawkins or a Sam Harris or Bill Gates or, you know, George Soros.
Oh, I didn't know Bill Gates.
Warren Buffett, you know, these, I mean, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are the number one and two wealthiest people on the face of right. the planet. And
they don't have enough time for God. they're too busy making money.
Yeah. She wouldn't want to succumb to her own argument there, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, but did you get muted on that one, too?
I don't think I even... I didn't try to make a point because I don't remember. I mean, there were a couple times I got muted, and then there were a couple times I just did a real quick subject change. And,
I don't know.
And so she was like, she would finish a point and then she would be like, okay, well, I'm moving on to this other point. I couldn't even conceive of broadcasting like that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't put out a broadcast like that. It's too obvious what a hack I am.
They made you seem like almost like an idiot because they cut you out and they didn't let you finish things. And then like, they would put things in there that made you sound bad. Like when she asked you, when you said there were several different, you know, that you believed maybe there was an alien god, they cut it off right there because it sounded like there was more to that.
Yeah, she said, and she was like, oh, alien god. Oh, you believe there's an alien god. Like, I don't know what the heck she
Yeah, they cut it off to make you sound like a moron.
Like, what the heck, you know, I mean, why can't there be some sort of alien god? It's a god that's not from here, and it's some sort of, I mean, whatever. I mean, I can't disprove that, you know? I can't disprove it. So, you know, I have certain gods I can disprove. Her god is one of them. That's what I was there to talk about, you know? I can prove for a fact that her god couldn't possibly exist, you know?
And, bringing Gandhi up in the subject was quite funny. That to me was pretty ridiculous.
And then she didn't like, you know, my I said, you know, but of course through the Bible Gandhi is burning in hell. She goes, "Well, clearly you don't know anything about Catholicism." And I go, "I grew up a Catholic." "Oh no, you're giving me a headache." Maybe that's cuz you have a brain aneurysm.
I don't know what Bible she's reading, but I do believe it says anyone that doesn't believe in a Christian God is going to be burning in hell.
Yeah, so, no, exactly. No, but she thinks that you can get to heaven through works alone, but...
like her think Hitler's in heaven, so, you know, whatever. Yeah, have you heard that before? I got an argument with a Christian the other day, actually, and he said, well, Hitler could be in heaven. I guess Hitler and God have a lot in common, because they have killed the majority of the world, so Hitler did kill, like, what, 6 million people?
Yeah, apparently, as long as you repent, you're okay.
Here we are, God. You know, using our brains and kind of analyzing the world around us through critical thinking and logic and trying to use this, you know, conceivably this character of God gave us these brains and, you know, that he would be upset with us or wouldn't allow us to go to a heaven by any other standard. We'll be, you know, good people in our lifetimes. The notion that a Hitler who killed millions of people could be in a heaven, but we couldn't, is not a loving system. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if you heard this one or not, but I was told the Antichrist is going to lead the world to peace. And then by leading those people to peace, the people he leads to peace or whatever prosperity are going to go to hell with him.
Actually, I don't have any plans on doing that. I was considering the whole peace thing, but I'm thinking it would be better if we just allow the politicians of the world to continue to just keep killing our different societies off. I think that would be a much better way. Just kind of let it go.
Maybe
like
they are
that.
The Antichrist.
George Bush. What do you think about George Bush?
Oh, don't even. I hate to say this, but I campaigned for him both terms. As his first term, I was part of the young Hancock County Republicans, and I campaigned for him. And then I campaigned for him the second term. Apparently, my skull was so thick that I didn't realize, you know, oh, I'm campaigning for an idiot. But when he turned on my party, that's when I really realized, oh, okay. You know, it took me a while to realize that he was a complete moron because, you know, apparently I didn't care about all the other people he screwed over until he screwed over my party. That was the final nail in the coffin. He just doesn't care. He's like, oh, I can't win again, so I'm just going to sit in this office and apparently jerk off. I don't know what he's doing there. I don't know if he's, you know.
He's spending money and making government bigger.
Yeah, like
which is exactly what a Republican anti-Republican want to happen.
Like, that's why I don't get that. Like, it seems to me that I don't really have a problem with the Republican Party 20 years ago. That Republican Party. I didn't really have a
Barry
problem
Goldwater with Goldwater Republicans.
Yeah, but people who were just essentially we would like less government involvement in your lives, more free market and things like that. That's fine. That's great. But it seems like the Republicans have let the Christian right hijack their party in a lot of cases.
Seems like that would be the main issue. Yeah. Exactly.
Understatement of the week,
right?
Well,
because they think they have the right to go and say, okay, you can't have an abortion, which that's a really sensitive subject for me because, you know, what if a girl is in high school, like 14, and she's starting to have a child? I think she should have a right to her education. I mean, if we make abortion illegal, this is kind of going off topic, but I have to say this. If we make abortion illegal, what will happen to our society? Because more girls that have kids at a young age, they can't go to high school and support a child at the same time, so they're going to have to drop out. And our education system, you know, for our future is going to suck. But hey, maybe that's what the Republicans want. They want a society that they can control in the future, you know, kind of like a Mao policy. Now we'll just blind the youth and control them. Maybe that's a little extreme, but that's what would happen in the long run.
Well, I think the thing that people really need to be focusing on with the abortion issue is the irony of the fact that the Republican Party wants to make abortion illegal, but once you have that kid, they don't want to help you with it at all. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, we love your unborn fetus, but yeah, once it like travels out of your vagina... sorry.
They're also huge proponents of the death penalty.
They are.
So, and going to war. And not that that's all Republicans, but the current administration is...
Well, the Republican Party platform. I mean, the Republican Party does have a platform, so we can generalize and say that the Republican Party, you know, in general, has these certain beliefs.
Right.
You know, well, obviously there are some individuals who may differ in some ways, but it's kind of like talking about the Catholic Church. You know, they have their platform. This is their official stance. And, of course, there are always going to be exceptions. But at any rate, I was just saying that, you know, if they really have a problem with abortion, they need to not be focusing on criminalizing it and instead focus on creating a society in which abortion wouldn't seem like the only viable option.
Yeah. And maybe regulate it. They don't have to completely outlaw it, but, you know, I mean, if a girl's going around, not just a girl, but if a couple's going around having, you know, sex, and they're like, oh, oops, I didn't mean to have this child, I'm going to go abort it. If they keep doing that, to me, that'd be kind of...
Distasteful, but I mean, like, yeah. Ultimately, if they're willing to keep making the same retarded mistake, and abortions aren't cheap, you know, and continue paying for it, then, yeah, whatever, you know, I mean... Eventually, she will have some kind of like health repercussion to deal with there. You can't keep ripping out the lining of your uterus over and over and over again and expect it to function normally. Yeah, well, I do. Well, just for the statement, I have never personally had an abortion, but I have written papers on it.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, disclaimer. I have never had an abortion.
No member of the Rational Response Squad has actually ever had an abortion, including Razorcade.
I've had three.
Yeah, but I would say, like, honestly, if I found out that I was pregnant tomorrow, I would have an abortion, definitely, because I've already got three kids and I don't want any more.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Evidence that she's never had an abortion. She's too busy popping out kids.
Yeah. I kind of wish Laura Ingraham's parents would have considered it because
You know, I have quite a few
Kelly,
people.
Drink some water for that burn.
Some people that, I would be fans of, maybe, you know, like the 29th trimester abortion.
Yeah. There's some people in the world that I wish that their parents were like, I don't want this kid.
Yeah, word.
Well, you know, that would be a funny game, like, to kind of figure out exactly how different the world would be if you took certain people out of it from never ever existing, you know? You just, like, you take, like, the Hitlers, the Bin Ladens, the George Bush, you know, the Jerry Falwells. The who?
Condoleezza Rice, don't forget her.
Condoleezza, can take out the Condoleezza Rice. You just, it's just different historical figures. Take them out, see what happened, you know? Saddam Hussein, Mussolini, you know, just all these different, you know. Just different people have caused problems. I wonder what the world would be like, you know. Would other people have come in their place and done the same thing? You know, were they just that evil, you know, that they were one of a kind, you know? Just an interesting little what-if game.
Yeah, the what-if game. I love that game because, you know, what if there was a God?
There you go. I'll tell you what. Hang on the line for 1 second, all right? But we're going to end on that point, all right? Hang on the line.
Okay.
Now, all right? I'm going to exit it out, and then after we're done, like, outroing, you'll do something for me. So, but yeah. All right. Yeah. What if there's a God? Exactly. We'll have to end on that. So, what if coulda, woulda, shoulda? All right. Thanks so much for listening to this, little podcast here with, debunking of Laura Ingraham and our friend, Eric, who has, deconverted as a result of the squad. So kudos to you, buddy. And thanks a lot for coming on, man, and telling your story and, getting on the record with it. So, until next time, folks, stay rational.
Stay rational.